Good morning. I've got a few questions for you. Okay? Do you find yourself always rushing from one place to another? Always on the go. Just not enough time. Are you easily exhausted? Are you quickly irritated at people? Are you so busy that you have lost interest in what is going on in the lives of those around you? Maybe a spouse or a child or a good friend? If you answered yes to any of those questions, perhaps you're too busy and you need rest. And this morning, I want to talk to you through God's Word about rest. And we're going to be talking about the fourth commandment. And so if you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to please turn to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to start in verse 8. Exodus chapter 20. But before I read our text, I want to quickly remind us of the purpose of the Ten Commandments. It is so important that all of us are on the same page regarding what the Ten Commandments are all about. Because if you were to go up and ask just a stranger on the street what the purpose of the Ten Commandments are, they would tell you, most likely, that the Ten Commandments are a way for you to work your way up to God. That the Ten Commandments are some type of stairway to God. And so they would admit that God is up here, that He's holy, and that He's perfect, and that they see themselves in light of God's holiness, and they see that they fall short of that. And so initially, their first response to how they're going to bridge that gap between their sinful soul and a holy God is something like, follow the Ten Commandments. If I can just follow those, then that's going to bring me reconciliation with God. And in fact, if you've ever asked somebody, if you die, how do you know you're going to go to heaven? Most of the time, it's been my experience, and maybe yours, that the response will be, because I've never murdered anyone. They automatically defer to the sixth commandment. But what people don't know is that the sixth commandment, murder, is the obvious last resort of what happens because of bitterness and hatred and evil in the person's heart. So they think they're going to be held accountable because they've never murdered anybody, but as Jesus elaborated on the Ten Commandments, really they have murdered somebody because they've been bitter and they've hated in their hearts. So when we look at the Ten Commandments, most of us, when we have looked at it with honesty and integrity, we walk away from the Ten Commandments as non-believers and we hate the Ten Commandments. We despair the Ten Commandments because we realize that all our efforts will always fail, that there is no way that we can uphold the expectations of the Ten Commandments. And this morning, you may be a non-believer, and I'm so delighted that you're here. And for you, when we go through this message on the fourth commandment, or when we go through others on the Ten Commandment, you will leave here in despair, because if you're honest with yourself, you will realize and acknowledge that there's no way you can uphold the fourth, the third, the second, any of the Ten Commandments. But the beautiful news is that God, in His grace and His love for us, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus was able to meet the expectation of the Ten Commandments perfectly. Not only the letter of the law did Jesus meet, but the heart of the law. Never being bitter, never being angry, never lusting. He met every expectation of the law. And the good news continues because Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and mine. And all the filth and the sin and the garbage that's associated with our lives were placed upon Christ and His perfect life and His perfect fulfillment of meeting the expectations of the Ten Commandments are placed upon us. And so when the Father looks upon us, He doesn't see us as the sinners that we are. He sees us as if He's looking at His Son Jesus. And so now as believers, we come back to the Ten Commandments with a whole new set of lenses. Because at one point, that which we hated, that which brought us despair, because we have been born again, because we are now a child of the living God, we have a new heart. And we have new desires. And now we go back to the Ten Commandments and we desire to live up to those Ten Commandments because we know that that pleases the Father. And we know that He gives us the grace and the power to successfully live those Ten Commandments out. Not always perfect, but when we fail, there's grace to pick us up. And I loved Melissa's testimony because that was full of the grace of Jesus Christ. Did you catch it? How when she tried to do it on her own, she failed. It didn't work. But when she relies on the grace of God through Jesus Christ, it upholds her, it gives her power to move on. So we need to approach the Ten Commandments, and especially this morning, with that perspective. We're not doing it to try to earn God's favor. We're doing it as His children because it brings Him great pleasure and delight, and we want to make Him happy. So with that said, let's read Exodus chapter 20, starting with verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son, or your daughter, your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. My goal this morning is quite simple. My goal this morning is to present this commandment in such a way that you will delight, that you will desire to want to spend blocks of time, whether it's the Lord's Day or whether it's another day, blocks of time communing with Almighty God. That's my goal. And so before we look at this passage, and before I give you five reasons why God has given us a day of rest, I want to just give you some background information that I think will be helpful as we study this passage. First of all, the word Sabbath. The word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word sabbat, and it means to cease from doing something or to rest. And we see it used both ways. In Genesis, we see that God rested. Same root word, sabbat. In this context, to cease from working, it's the same root word. So sabbat means either to cease from doing something or to rest. For the people of Israel, they were the first recipients of this commandment, and they were to observe this day of rest on the last day of the week. Okay, on the last day of the week. So they were to work 6 days, and then on the seventh day, that was their day of rest, their day to cease working. If you think that this commandment was any less important than the others, the penalty for doing work on the Sabbath was death. Okay, so pretty serious stuff. I'm glad those consequences no longer exist, because I'd be toast. Okay, so let's just dive right in. And I want to share with you five reasons why God has given us a day of rest. First of all, reason number one. God gave His people rest for physical rest. He commanded them to cease working to give them physical rest. Remember, God's people were worked to death while in slavery in Egypt. You remember that? They were once slaves, working. What a blessing to know that God was a gracious God who cared for their physical well-being. As a way to ensure that His people maintained their physical rest, He gave them parameters regarding how their time was to be allocated. He was very clear that they were to work 6 days and rest on the seventh. You know, like any good parent that sets parameters for their children, God in His great care for us has set parameters for us. We have 6 days to work and 1 day to rest. And part of the reason for that 1 day of ceasing to work is to receive physical rest. We are busy people. And sometimes we just don't know when to say no. And we pile more and more and more stuff on our plates. And we get more busy and more tired and less productive. And so God sets parameters here. Any parent knows the importance of setting parameters for their children. You know the importance of saying, this is permissible, this is not. It gives a child security. It's a form of love when you set parameters for your children. And that's what God has done for us. He's basically telling us that as His children that He loves, we have 6 days to do our work. 6 days to do our work around the house. 6 days to do our vocational work. 6 days to pursue some of our other interests. We are to get it all done in those 6 days. But on 1 day, we're to set that aside and to be with Him. And to be with each other and to minister to others. Now, in addition to physical rest, God has given us the Sabbath as a way to set ourselves apart. Set ourselves apart. For Israel, the Sabbath was an opportunity for them to set themselves apart or to distinguish themselves from the pagan nations that surrounded them. None of the other bordering nations had a covenant with God in which they were able to honor God by taking 1 day to rest and honor Him. This was truly a way for the nation of Israel to set themselves apart. And you know what? This principle is just as applicable today as ever before. We as believers have a wonderful way to set ourselves apart from non-believers. We have a wonderful opportunity to come together, to worship, to extend the day out and spend time with God, to minister to others. This sets us apart from the rest of the world. Bill Gates, in an interview he gave to Time magazine in October of 2005, he had these words to say about gathering together on Sunday. He said, just in terms of allocation of time resources, religion is not very efficient. There's a lot more I could be doing on a Sunday morning. And you know, right? You know what? He's right. For a non-believer who's not set apart, this is a complete waste of time. But for those of us who are born again, who have been called by God to be one of His children, this is everything to us. This is a delight. This is a joy. It's a privilege to be able to come together, to worship, to sing. Were you not delighted? Wasn't your heart not moved minutes ago when we sang praises to the Lord? It was awesome. It was wonderful. For those who are not set apart, this is a waste of time. Until their hearts have been born again, until they've been regenerated, this will never be an efficient use of time. But for us, it's everything, because we're set apart. So God gives us the Sabbath for physical rest, because He's set us apart, we're unique. Thirdly, He's given us the Sabbath rest as a way for us to exercise our trust in the Lord. For God's people, observance of the Sabbath was a very big step of faith. It meant that they would have to trust the Lord to meet all their needs. And to keep them accountable, God made it clear that no one in the household could work. Remember what we read? We read that on the day of Sabbath, that not only you couldn't work, your son couldn't work, your daughter couldn't work, your male servant couldn't work, your female servant couldn't work, your livestock couldn't work, your sojourner couldn't work, nobody could work. You know what the purpose of this is? This is to keep us accountable. In other words, a person back then couldn't say, okay, I'm going to observe the Sabbath, but I'm going to put you to work. You go do all the chores so that we can ensure that we're going to have something to eat tonight. Because that's our tendency, is to not trust. But this forces us to trust God. Is observing the Sabbath an opportunity for us to exercise our trust today? I would say yes. It takes trust to put aside your agenda or your plans for the day and put that off to the side and instead block off a chunk of time to come together, to worship, and to spend some concentrated time with God in His Word. That takes trust. Because you're trusting that time with God is going to be fulfilling and it's going to be as satisfying as whatever you plan to do this afternoon. And that takes trust. It takes trust when you look at your house and there's stuff to be done all over the place and you have a choice. You can either get going and taking care of all this stuff or you can spend that block of time with God. And inside, there's a war going on. Because you don't like your house to look like that. And this is the only time that you know you have to clean it up. And so what are you going to do? Are you going to let those dishes just sit there and the clothes pile up one more day? Or are you going to take care of it and not spend time with God? It takes trust to spend time with God. It takes trust. If you're a young professional just starting out in your career, and the expectation might be for you to work 60 or 70 hours a week, and you know that that's going to interfere with your walk with God, what are you going to do? It's going to take trust for you to say, you know what, this job could be very lucrative. I can make a lot of money, maybe be set, but I'm going to pass it by because I know that I want to have a job that allows me to spend my time, blocks of time with God and with His people. It takes trust to be a parent, and you have set parameters regarding activities that will be done and not done on the Lord's day, and you're feeling pressure from your kids or from the neighbors because you don't allow your kids to participate in some of these activities. That takes trust. And so you're feeling this pressure from all these outside forces, and you need to trust that your decision was the right one. That takes trust. I want to read a psalm to any of you who are in a situation like that or something similar, okay? Where you have to decide whether you're going to spend time with God or do something else, and there's a pull inside of you. Let me read this to you. Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. When I am afraid, I will trust in You. In God, whose Word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? What can your neighbors do to you if you don't give in? So what? They ridicule you and they call you a killjoy. So what? Who cares? Who cares if your friends ridicule you because you pass on a job making big bucks because you know the right thing to do is to trust God and know that you need a job that's going to allow you to spend time with Him? Who cares if you face judgment because you ask for a demotion instead of a promotion because you know that's what you need? It'd be best for you, your walk, and your family. Who cares? Well, the fourth reason why God has given us the Sabbath rest is that it gives us an extended time of fellowship with Him. Our text ties the commandment of remembering the Sabbath with the rest that God took after creating the universe and everything in it. Okay, let's look at verse 9 one more time. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. What was the reason why God rested on the seventh day? What was the reason? Why did He rest? Was it because He was tired? It couldn't have been. God doesn't get tired. God is God. He doesn't slumber, nor does He sleep. The purpose of God resting on the seventh day was to delight and take joy in His creation. And above all His creation, He takes the greatest delight in people, you. God takes delight in you. He enjoys you and He enjoys spending time with you. Because you, unlike all other created beings, have been made in His image. You see, the day of rest is first and foremost a day in which we as God's creation can enjoy an extended time of fellowship with our Heavenly Father. When else are you going to do it? I know how life gets. When else are you going to do it? If you don't block away one day, whether it's Saturday or Sunday, whatever, if you don't block away one day, when is it going to be? Is it going to be during the week? It won't be during the week. You know that. Too much stuff is going on. God has given us this margin, this time, where He wants to spend some extended time with you. Believe it or not, God wants to spend time with you. You know, I caught a fresh glimpse of this a few weeks ago when our family was on vacation. And we had a tremendous time. It was so much fun. We went to the beach. You know, we went out to eat at night and, you know, just let the kids have a blast. Took them down to the beach and let them play in the sand and all that. We had a great time. But you know what the highlight of the trip was? The highlight of the trip was not going out and eating ribs. That wasn't the highlight. It wasn't taking pictures of the kids, getting sand all over their face. That wasn't the highlight of the trip. The highlight of the trip was each evening when the kids were down and Jill and I just got to spend an extended block of time together. It was wonderful. We talked through issues that we were both struggling with. We cried together. We prayed together. We fellowshiped. Our hearts were knitted together during that time. It was awesome. It was wonderful. But it was because we were able to set some time apart, to have a block of time. We couldn't have done that here. Life doesn't allow us to do that. God gave us this one day because He knows how life gets. And He knows that we need that one day to have extended time with Him. Take advantage of it. The last reason why God gave us the Sabbath was that the Sabbath is a reminder that our true rest is ultimately found in Jesus Christ. Our true rest is ultimately found in Jesus Christ. Your aching soul is not because of your job or because of the person you're married to or whatever other excuse you come up with. Your aching soul is because you're not finding your rest in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4, 9 through 11 says, "So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience." You know what this is saying? this verse is saying that true rest, lasting rest, is available to those who cease trying to earn salvation through their good works and instead find their rest in the completed work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's what this verse is saying. Jesus Himself said, "Come, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." I want to just wrap this up by just offering you some suggestions of how you might spend your day of rest. Okay? Now let me just give you a couple insights into this. First of all, the Sabbath, like I shared earlier, was observed on the last day of the week, which is Saturday. But the early church began celebrating the Sabbath on the Lord's Day, which is the first day of the week. Okay, because that's the day that Christ was raised from the dead. Let me read Acts 20, verse 7 to you. It says, "On the first day of the week, when we gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them," and it goes on to say that he gave a message. And so that's why, as believers, we meet on Sundays, the first day of the week, and not on Saturday, like they did as part of the Old Covenant. The other disclaimer that I want to make is that there are some believers, honest believers who are strict Sabbatarians. And that means they believe that this day has to be observed on Sunday. Okay? I don't necessarily hold that opinion. I think that God gives us some liberty here and that the focus is not which day it is, but when it is. The focus is, are you having this day? If it's not Sunday because you have to work, well then when is it? Now personally, I like to know that there's Christian doctors and police officers and nurses who are working on Sunday. That's good. I think we should keep up with that. So I'm not going to tell all the Christian physicians and nurses that they got to quit working on Sundays. I just don't think that's right. So the point is, not that it has to be observed on the Lord's Day or Sunday, but it has to be observed on some day. So what are you going to do on that day? I would suggest that you always make worship a priority in your life. Always. It's easy to get in the habit of stop coming to worship, especially for parents with young children. It is a hassle, I know, but it's worth the hassle. Keep fighting, keep dealing with those screaming kids, getting them in their car seats. It's a good thing. Fight through it, continue coming. In addition to a time of worship, I would say the Lord's Day, whichever day it is for you, plan to have an extended time to spend with God. Now, this is a great opportunity to use a message as a springboard to some discussion around the table, to involve your children, to sing some hymns, to talk about missionaries and some of the great saints of past. This is a day that God has given us to do these things because He's given us some margin. Take advantage of it. And lastly, I think this is a great day, and Jesus demonstrated this so beautifully, a great day to minister to others. How many times do you and I, during the week, say, "Oh, I wish I would have called so-and-so, or so-and-so really needs a visit." But you can't. You can't because you're too busy. But when you come to the Lord's Day open, you can do all sorts of creative things. You can meet someone here at church and invite them back because you have an open agenda. It's not jam-packed like the rest of your week with all these activities. So those are three things that I would encourage you to make as part of your Lord's Day: worship, extended time with God, and ministry to others. You know, those questions that I asked earlier, those were very convicting to me because I feel like I'm a lot of those things. I think those things really describe me. I don't know if it's because of this point in my life or what, but I feel like I'm agitated and I'm very irritable. And this message spoke to me personally because I think it's because of a lack of not only physical rest, but spiritual rest in the Lord. And so I've made it a point to make this a vision for my own life, that I would seek the Lord's rest and allow that to penetrate my heart. And I think if I do that, my house is going to be a happier place, there's going to be more joy, and I would invite you to do the same thing and allow that rest to penetrate your heart and in your home. And if we all come with that restful heart and mind, we're going to be a congregation of rested people, not only physically, but spiritually in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I want to ask you for forgiving me and us for dismissing this commandment. Lord, we have tossed this by the wayside. We have ranked your commandments, God, and we have put this outside of the others. God, we pray that you would forgive us. Lord, as a result of our disobedience, many of us, Lord, are tired, impatient, frustrated, irritable. God, all these other sins are stemming from this sin of disobeying your commandment to rest. God, I pray that you would give us the desire, Lord, not because we have to, but give us the desire to spend time with you, to walk with you, to spend time in your word. Father, change our hearts. Thank you so much, Father, for your Son, Jesus, who met not only this commandment, but all of them to perfection. And thank you that our hope, our rest, are ultimately in him. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.